Here's a tough question to ponder. If there's a risk that you'll have a serious medical issue later in life, would you want to know?
More than 500,000 cases of head and neck cancer are diagnosed each year worldwide.
It's the most rapidly increasing cancer in the United States, and many times there are no symptoms. And according to a new report, thyroid cancer diagnoses have tripled over the last 30 years.
So it's just, it was a string of things, and it was just like, when he got the cancer and everything, it was just like, oh my God, does this ever end? It was just nonstop of, you know, a repetitive, a lot of different health issues.
Hi everyone, this is Amber Gutierrez, your host for In Our World, and today's guest is Richie Romero. Many knows him as Mr. Activities and is a creative entrepreneur focused in nightlife and is a business partner in different venues such as One Oak, Up and Down, and restaurants such as Julian and many more. Welcome, Richie.
Thank you. I want to
thank you for accepting my invitation to the podcast, for being willing to talk about something that not many knows about you, that is your experience going through cancer. And I want to start with how everything started. And when this happened?
When I was, it was 2009, I got, I was having real serious stomach issues and I kept getting colonoscopies and nothing was coming up. And then towards the end of 2009, I was having very serious things like blood in my stool. I lost 40 pounds in 5 weeks. I didn't know what it was. Kept going to the doctor, tell me different things, got signed for another colonoscopy. In between that, though, I had to be rushed to the hospital because I couldn't break down any of my food, and I was so dehydrated that they had to set me up with an IV, and I was in the hospital for like a week. They did a colonoscopy, and then I got diagnosed with a cusp of Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. And after that, they were scared because I couldn't, if I got like the flu or was sick, it was winter time, that my body would break down even more because of Crohn's. I couldn't take antibiotics or anything. So the doctor gave me a flu shot and an H1N shot at the time, which later on you're not supposed to do both at the same time. I had a weird reaction and it was, I had to be rushed to the hospital again. It was like a form of meningitis. I couldn't like feel my neck. I couldn't move my head, everything. It was pretty much like almost paralyzed. So when I got a CAT scan, the results, I saw this huge mass in my throat. So they wanted to do further testing, did a sonogram. Sonogram saw a huge nodule in my throat, from my thyroid and also in my throat, like little populates and everything. So they did a biopsy. It was cancer. And then May of 2010, I had to get my thyroid removed to get the cancer out. And I had to do chemo and radiation for my throat and my thyroid, just to make sure everything was like killed off.
When you were rushed to the hospital the first time, have you ever thought it was something this bad?
I was more scared, to be honest with you. I was actually, when I got diagnosed with the cancer part, I handled that better than I did with the Crohn's, because don't know how you got it. The treatment's all over the place. So I was more fearful of that, and I still carry like a fear that I had like another flare recently last year. I did lost 40 pounds in literally less than like 5 weeks. When I had the cancer, I was a little more ready for it because the doctor told me, he was like, hey, listen, if you had to pick a hat, you had the best cancer that you could get with the thyroid cancer, with the throat cancer. It was so, they got it luckily because the doctor screwed up and gave me the H1N shot and everything, had the reaction I'd had, they would never found it. So they caught the throat in the first stage, and I was lucky with that. So they were really confident with it. My surgeon and doctor were both like very like, we got you. And literally all the nurses used to joke around when they come in, like, you're the most happy cancer patient we've ever seen. So I was very, you know, comfortable with that. I kind of like hid it from my family for a while too. Like my mom didn't know, my aunt was like my crutch. Because she's more like my personality. She can handle things. My mom like used to like really overreact. My dad died when I was younger. So literally my aunt was more my like alpha in my family. So she brought me to the hospital. She'd be the one that picked me up from surgeries and everything.
Do you feel changed after this experience? Like, how was your life before this happened?
It dramatically changed my life in terms of the better. Like, I never look back on anything in life as regret. I look at it that it's an experience and you get knowledge from it. Even the worst scenarios with this, I actually learned I don't drink. I'm dairy free. I'm gluten free. I watch what I eat. I watch anything that has inflammation that could put into my body. I actually feel I look better, younger, like feel a lot better since it all, just because it just educated me and just really you realize like, hey, there's more to life with it. And before that, it was a little like money hungry and everything. I didn't travel as much. Now it's like I'm more of a free spirit. I'm more about like, you know, the experiences and like meeting people and acquiring knowledge and like reading more and like developing and discovering new worlds and countries and everything. So
it's kind of opened your eyes to what really matter.
Yeah.
What it's more important.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened to me. I thought it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me because it really did open my eyes.
Right now, do you follow anything that it's about medication or other stuff?
Yeah.
Because of that, or?
I don't really like taking, pharmaceutical, but I have to take Synthroid and another medicine because I don't have a thyroid, and, thyroid pretty much controls your moods and everything. It's the gasoline to your car. And also for my stomach, I got to take this thing. I take a couple different stomach medications just to like keep from the having a flare and keep it under control, that I'm in remission with that as well.
Well, you look very healthy right now. But like during the time of the treatment, how long it was that time? Like how long did you have to stay in the hospital for everything?
I always had from the surgery part, I wasn't in the hospital too long. It was a few days, but I always had, I've been probably in and out of hospitals for the last like 10, 12 years. So many times I can't even really tell you. I can't even come up with a number.
Did you have close family, friends, people close around you, or you tried to stay by yourself?
People always came to like my aunt was always there, and friends always visited and tried to visit, but I kind of always like to handle it by myself. I've always kind of had that personality. Like, as much as people want to be there for you, they'll never feel what you're going through, and it just makes them feel awkward. And I don't want someone else to feel bad, so I'd rather like handle it myself and keep positive that it's going to turn out well. Sometimes you get a little depressed that you think like, hey, I'm losing this. Why did this happen to me? And you start feeling sorry for yourself. But when it really comes down to it, it makes you stronger in general. So it's just tests from God, I look at it.
So let's pretend that we're going back in time to the day that you discovered you had cancer. What was your thought every morning, and how did you find the strength in yourself to go through it?
To be honest with you, it was just a string of serious health issues. And at that point, it was just a lot of self-pity because of the fact that first I was in the hospital already for the Crohn/colitis, and I went from 190-something pounds of, working out and great shape, muscular, and I dropped down to almost 145 pounds. I was in the hospital all the time, and it was just, then with the flu shot, how they accidentally found it and everything with the H1N shot. I thought I had friggin' meningitis. So it was a string of things. And it was just like, when I got the cancer and everything, it was just like, oh my God, does this ever end? It was just nonstop of, a repetitive, a lot of different health issues. So it was a lot of a lot of self-pity.
What gave you strength?
And with the cancer part, it was more the things where it was like, all right, I finally hit the thing of, hey, this is like the worst thing you could possibly have, which is the big C that everyone's like, oh, it's cancer. And everything else I went through and everything, I was like, hey, it was kind of like an enlightening period. The doctors were confident that I was going to overcome that. And it's just like I battled so many things. It was just, it literally gave me enlightenment. It was just like, hey, I'm going to beat all this. And I stayed in a positive mindset. I was never a really big reader. And reading books like really put me through a lot, knowledge of, food, different diet books, different things. That's what really like kind of helped me through, like self-educating myself, because,
you know, at that point, I thought like soy was good, whole wheat was good, like all these different foods. And I realized that I was poisoning myself all the time, thinking I was eating healthy when I really wasn't eating healthy because I didn't have that education. So really what got me through it was self-awareness and self-education and just like learning more about things. I think the biggest fear that people go through with things is that they don't know. And when you don't know is the biggest fear. That's what fear is. It's not knowing. It's like, oh my God, this could happen to me. My surgeon put me through, made me feel very, very comfortable because he was just so, not arrogant, but so confident that he's like, everything's going to be great. I don't mess up. Like, this could happen, but not with me. Like, and he was just, it's going to be good. And that just put me more positive. I'm like, hey, what else could already happen to me?
Richie was scared and didn't know how to handle the situation. He never thought he had to go through something like this. Losing 40 pounds and realizing he had two different type of cancers was a battle he didn't think he was ready for. But then he surprised himself and realized how strong and optimistic he could be, and he became more mindful of what really matters in life.
You just can't be like, oh my God, this is going to be wrong when everything. Like, I was kind of ready for it. Even when they found it, they were like, hey, this could be cancer. I'm like, listen, I have cancer. It's, you know, I can't put the things in my head. I just got to be ready to, like, you know, deal with it. Yeah, that's what you got to do. It's like your mind, your worst enemy, and you just can't put fear in your mind. You just got to go through and just, you know, battle it.
Do you have any very, very strong memories that was very difficult of that experience?
It's more when you're coming out of it and you're going through it, who's there for you and who's not there for you. That's more of the thing where you have your, like, your self-pity. It's like, you know, you think a lot of people are going to be there for you. Even not the thing, it's just in general.
And so right now, day by day, you're doing activities and you're keeping yourself healthy with watching what you eat and the workout you're doing. But you're also like trying to do something that could help others.
That's the one thing I want. I kind of disappoint myself in that I wanted to have more of a purpose. Like, I always believe in like, hey, spreading smiles and touching souls. That I feel I need to be do more things to help other people. And I haven't, every time I attempt to kind of do it, it's like, hey, you fall into the normal routines of life, of, you know, taking care of yourself and the people around you. But I feel like I do need more of a purpose to do things. One thing I'm trying to set out right now is this concept, which helped me out for my last health situation last year, which went into this year too as well, when I had a bad flare-up with the Crohn's ulcerative colitis, and I lost all the weight. A doctor told me about bone broth, and two things. It's one, it's for health reasons. It's amazing for your digestive system, and it helps like your digestive tract and everything, and I was living on it. It really helped me through a lot, so there's a lot of positive benefits with that. Plus, there's a vanity aspect of it, too. It's, you know, the collagen. It's good for your hair, skin, nails. That's one thing I'm just started working on. But I do need more things I've been looking into that I haven't did yet in terms of having more of a purpose of helping more people. Like, I try personally, like, you know, people I know that go through things to, you know, be there for them and everything.
So what are you doing about this? Like, You knew that bone broth was something good for you, and so what are you trying to do?
So right now, me and a couple of friends are, and a doctor too, actually one of my doctors that's been a really good friend of mine, we're looking to, you know, open up a couple of different like bone broth spaces and a bone broth concept. We're, you know, cooking different recipes and everything right now. So yeah, that's something we're, you know, in the process of doing, but it's in the initial stages because no one really is educated enough about it. Even when, you know, myself going through like everything in terms of from the cancer to other health issues to the Crohn's, ulcerative colitis and everything, it's, we were never really taught, especially someone my age bracket, it's like we were never really taught anything about food. Like, when I was going to school, it was the four food groups, and that's long gone. And never knew what gluten was, never knew, like, you know, the risk of dairy and different things. And, you know, being educated about food is, it's, there's not a lot of place you can really go. Like, nutritionist is like, you know, more recent. Before that, you didn't really have, you know, school was still teaching you the four food groups.
So you think that also you could have like got sick after what you ate, or like?
I believe food has a real serious component in health.
So the doctor told you.
It's, you know, you'll have that different mix of doctors. Like, you have the doctors that are very old school. They'll just hand out antibiotics and, you know, medications. And then you have the doctors that are more integrated now that are learning more about, like, hey, if you have stomach problems, you have different issues, it's what you're putting in your body. And I don't think enough people know about nutrition. And I think it's important that, you know, I wish it was more of an educational system they were teaching in, you know, even in the schools, but it's not happening right now. I always think the best thing when I went through my last bad health flare-up, cooking yourself, to be honest with you. It's, you know, the safest way to do it. You don't know what oils or people are using and everything. I just think going to the store yourself, buying your own, you know, vegetables, your own fruit, your own fish, and just picking out and cooking yourself. That's always the safest way. Going out to eat is like literally like it just – it makes it convenient when you're on the run, especially in the New York hustle, but cooking yourself, definitely that's what helped me get through it. Like, I didn't eat any outside food for like 6 months. I didn't even know how to cook before. I literally learned to cook from just literally total fear of, you know.
So a lot of learning after this experience.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's where you got to take the positives out of it. I never knew how to even boil an egg before, and yeah, you know, it's like you want to make sure what you put in your body is correct. You got to do it yourself.
And you said before that your dad passed away. There was any history of cancer in your family?
Yeah, my dad died of lung cancer. So that was another component. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. I watched my dad like have a lot of serious health issues just from smoking in general. He used to smoke Camel non-filtered, which is the biggest poison you could probably put of all tobacco in you. But you know, he died of lung cancer, so there's, you know, definitely a history of it. To be honest with you, I just, you know, drink in moderation. I don't believe in cigarettes whatsoever. I won't even date someone that smokes cigarettes, to be honest with you. I saw what it did to my dad, and, you know, I watched my dad die in my mom's arms, and, you know, I just don't see the positives of tobacco whatsoever. Literally, you go anywhere in the world and just shows you, hey, you know, cigarettes kill. We know this, but people still use it. Drug use too. It just, and you know, it's what you put in your body. You got to be careful. You know, if you want to live long and just be there for others and, you know, have any sort of purpose, I just think you got to watch what you put in you. Even myself, like smoking like marijuana, I didn't smoke anything. I never smoked. I always thought it was a drug. I wasn't educated enough with that until after I got cancer. I slowly, like, you know, smoking illegally. And now I actually have my medical card to smoke. It's definitely in the last, like, year or so, it's definitely helped me out dramatically, because there's other worse things you could take for pain. And it has healthy benefits for it. CBD oil and, you know, marijuana takes away, like, you know, the pain and helps you with a lot of stuff.
So what do you suggest people around a situation like this, what they should do to help someone that is facing cancer?
I think just understanding, being there, and, you know, trying to keep their mind as positive as possible, doing activities, don't, you know, coming up with positive, I call it positive distractions. Like in life, I feel like we need distractions in general. Some are positive and some are just distractions. Having like an intellectual conversation, you know, traveling together, or the other way of just being a distraction, going to the movies, going to games, doing activities. That's why I do a lot of activities. It's, you know, when I do have self-pity moment, I'd rather do an activity and have that distraction than to like sit home and just be like, oh my God, why is this happening to me? That doesn't do anything. It's your mind, your own worst enemy. And it just, sometimes you just don't want to be alone with your mind. You know, I try to live life to the fullest in terms of like, I believe everyone should be working out in some degree. I believe, you know, what you put in your body is the most important thing. Like, I don't believe in, you know, I probably drank like 2 or 3 times in the last 10 years. Like, I don't believe in drinking. I think everyone should just do everything in complete moderation. But, you know, I'm gluten-free, I'm dairy-free, I'm soy-free. Try to cut down on like sugar and everything. But I just believe in like healthy diet, you know, doing some sort of workout ritual and routine.
And, you know, just having a positive thought and just seeing the world and just getting as much knowledge every day. It's like, I don't care. No one knows everything. And every day you should just keep learning as much as possible and discovering new things.
Thank you very much for accepting to talk to me. And I wanted to just ask you if where your our listeners can reach out to you, if you have any like social medias so that could like ask you something, or
I guess Instagram, Richie Romero 1.
Nice. So they can also ask you where to go at night if ever like they want to hang out. And I also want to remind the audience that they can share their thought and experiences through our email inourwords@univision.net. And I'll have you for the next episode soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Amber.